Translation. At that time, Arjun, the great warrior and conqueror of sleep, who is the intimate friend of the most beloved Supreme Lord, took up an umbrella which had a handle of jewels and was embroidered with lace and pearls. Who knows what this chapter is about? If you even know the title of the chapter, that'd be great. But does anyone know what the chapter is about? Departure of Krishna from? To? Very nice. This is the chapter which describes Krishna's departure from Hastinapur to Dwarka. What's just happened in Hastinapur? Why was he in Hastinapur? Why? Yes, very nice. Krishna's been in Hastinapur after the war. He's been spending time with the Pandavas and his sister Subhadra to console them and help them to kind of recover from the trauma of the war. And now he's saying, I have to go back. They're all waiting for me. So he's going back. So just a little bit about this verse again. What's happening in this verse? What's in this chapter? We say, at that time, Arjun, the great warrior, at what time? What was Arjun doing? Does anyone know? Okay. Oh, yes, please.
It's after the war, when initially when Yudhishthira was lamenting because he had killed so many people, and obviously he's taking counsel of Bhishma, and because everyone's also hurt that Krishna is also leaving now, going back to his life after having spent time with them. They're all very remorseful. So, one by one, they are lamenting in their own way that Krishna is leaving, and they're trying to stop him to stay. So Arjuna is obviously now picking up an umbrella to shade Krishna.
Okay, very nice. You brought in some more details that what's happened in Hastinapur is that Bhishma was leaving his body. Yudhishthira went and got instructions from him. And now they know that Krishna is going. They're all really upset. And in this moment of lamentation, Arjuna's taken umbrella. Did I understand you correctly? That was very, very close. What's happening on this verse, because it's a story, what's happening on this verse is now Krishna is on his chariot. And the Pandavas get on the chariot with him. And Arjuna is holding the umbrella over Krishna's head on the chariot because they accompany Krishna for many miles. And then finally Krishna says to them, you've got to go back. But Arjuna's on Krishna's chariot as Krishna's leaving Hastinapur. And Arjuna's holding up the umbrella to shade the Lord from the hot sun. So that's what's happening in this verse. At that time, at the time they're all on the chariot getting ready to go. So let's carry on. So now we're going to go to the purport. Actually, this is a really short purport, which is fantastic. It means we can all think about it and express what we understand Prabhupada to be saying. This is the entirety of the purport. Oh, no. I've got two slides, which has got the purport in. But that's pretty much it. So let's read the purport. Gold jewels, pearls and valuables. By the way, after I've read this, please, we've got it up there so you can think. It's really important that when we hear Prabhupada's teachings, we don't just listen kind of like passively. We don't take anything in. And the medicine doesn't work. This is the medicine. Bhagavatam discussion is the medicine for the heart. And if we just listen passively, the medicine doesn't work. So we really have to engage with the subject. So I'm going to read this slide, and then I'm going to ask you to throw out your suggestions, what is being said in the slide. Not your comments, just repeat in your own words points that you've heard in this slide. Okay? So we'll read it. Gold, jewels, pearls, and valuable stones were used in the luxurious royal ceremonies. They are all nature's gifts and are produced by the hills, oceans, etc., by the order of the Lord, when man does not waste his valuable time in producing unwanted things in the name of necessities. So I'm going to start with the ladies because they're not used to speaking. Ladies, can you tell me some of the things that you hear in your own words in this part of the purport? Go ahead. Did you want to say something? No? Oh, you were just fidgeting. Okay, any ladies? Gopi? Okay, very nice. You're saying when Krishna orders, nature provides all these natural opulences like gold and jewels. Did I understand you, Gopi? Any other lady? One more, please, go ahead. Wow. Really nicely put. Before I reflect back, can anyone just help me bring this a little bit closer to me, because I'm having to kind of like go this way to get in front of the mic. Thank you. So, is it Abby? Very nicely understood. You're saying Krishna orders nature to provide these things for us when we're not being greedy and chasing after things that we don't really need. If we're being greedy, then Krishna doesn't order nature to give these things, only when we're not being greedy. Did I understand you? Excellent. Do the men have anything they'd like to add, or we'll get the men doing the next slide, because I think that pretty much covers it. So we'll read this and we'll get the men to repeat what are the things they're hearing. By so-called development of industrial enterprises, they're now using pots of gutta percha, instead of metals like gold, silver, brass, and copper. They're using margarine instead of purified butter, and one-fourth of the city population has no shelter. So some of the men, what you're hearing, just what Prabhupada is saying, but in your own words. Anyone? Andreas, you want to have a go?
More careless.
Yeah. So you're saying that nowadays we don't have the opulent things. We have to use poor substitute waste, you said. And even people are homeless. So you said that means they're careless. I don't know what you meant by they're careless, but... Oh, very nice. Okay, you're saying our Ugra karma is very careless. We don't care the effect we're having on the environment and on the quality of people's lives. We're just creating this Ugra karma, these industrial industries, and the consequences are terrible, but the industrial magnates or whatever, the big guys who are making the money, they don't care what the effect they're having. Do you understand you? Please? So you're reinforcing Andres's understanding of this. You're saying that the industrial leaders are irresponsible about everybody else. They're just fat cats. They're just greedy. They just want to create more wealth for themselves, and everyone else is suffering. Everyone else is having to live in kind of like poverty because some people want everything. Yeah? Well, I think you did a very nice understanding of the purport. There's one, Prabhupada says when we read his books, we should do it in two phases. There's a lecture I was listening to, which is on the Improving Our Sarusangha webpage, just a little plug for that page. And Prabhupada says, now you have heard, now what? You should ask, what is Swamiji saying? And do I have any questions? Do I agree? No, he says, do I agree or disagree? And if I disagree, why do I disagree? And he said, if you discuss like this, very quickly you will see that faith develops in your heart. So we're going to do that. We've done an understanding. We've said what Prabhupada is saying. He's telling us that Krishna will instruct nature to provide us all kinds of valuable things when we're not greedy and engage in producing unwanted things in the name of necessities. And he says, then he gives some examples in the next verse, in the next slide, of how we've become poorer as a result of this ugra karma, as a result of these industries. He gives some examples. We don't use gold and silver anymore. We use plastic or this other kind of cheap metal. We don't use butter anymore. We use margarine. We don't even have, you know, sufficient land for building houses. You know, people are, 1/4 of the population is on the streets. I think Prabhupada is pretty accurate about this. So we've done an understanding. Now I'd like to raise a question. The question I want to raise is, what does it mean, this phrase, unwanted things in the name of necessities? I want to look at that phrase. Because if we just give up this, chasing unwanted things in the name of necessities, we will become prosperous. So what is meant by unwanted things in name of necessities? Can anyone give me examples? Very nice. Go ahead.
Everything else is unnecessary, actually. So when we have those things at all, automatically use everything that requires.
Okay.
More than requires.
You're saying all the industries today, they're creating things we don't really need. We just need to eat and have shelter. We need to have protection, some cover and some food. That's all we need, everything else. Give me examples of things that we consider necessities. We can't live without them. We would think, if I was to say, I'm going to take that away from you, you have to live without it, you'd say, oh my God, how can I possibly live without that? But it's really not required. Did you want to say something? And then, ladies, you've got to come up with some ideas too. Yeah, you know. Computers, we could live without it. Prabhupada says, if it's going to be there, we'll be like the snake in the hole. We'll try to use it for Krishna. But computers are unnecessary. Ladies, give me an idea of something you're really attached to. You think you can't live without it, but it's an unwanted necessity. Go ahead, Mata.
Okay.
Dishwashers. We don't really need dishwashers. We could live without them. They used to live without them for years.
Tumble dryers.
Tumble dryers, yes. And something you all probably have on you right now, including me. What is it we all carry around with us as our very best friend? It's like it's the only thing we ever talk to anymore. Mobile phones, unwanted net. Do you know how much is used in these updates every year? How many of these mobile phones go into these landfills? And it's like they're a crazy destructive industry, mobile phones. So yes, so these are some things in the name of, unwanted things in the name of necessities. And I want to look at this a bit more. If you ever do a Veda-based search on Prabhupada's books, some other phrases he uses to talk about this is unnecessary necessities. So here he's used the phrase unwanted things in the name of necessities. Sometimes he uses the phrase unnecessary necessities. And sometimes he uses the phrase unwanted necessities. So I put next to each of the phrase in little brackets how many hits I got looking up those. So I got 15 hits for unnecessary necessities. And 5 hits for unwanted necessities. So I just wanted to look a little bit about, we've discussed what is meant about this. We've given some examples. I would like to discuss a little bit more what is meant. So depending on the modes of nature that predominantly influences us, Because until we're liberated souls, all of us are predominantly influenced by one or more of the modes of nature. So depending on which mode of nature is predominantly influencing us, the unwanted necessities will take different forms in our lives. So can you think of ways that someone who's predominantly influenced by the mode of ignorance has unwanted necessities? What kind of unwanted necessities is someone who is predominantly in the mode of ignorance going to be attracted to? I can't live without it. Cake. Overeating. Yes. Yes. Oh my God, I know that. And cake. Okay, overeating. We're going to put to overeating. Eating things which are not good for you. Yeah? Drink. Alcohol. Excellent. We can't live without the alcohol. Thankfully, I've given that one up. Ladies, any other things about unwanted necessities for someone who is predominantly influenced by the mode of ignorance? Huh? TV? Yes, TV and all kinds of, idle time wasting. So like me, I got rid of the TV because I'm addicted to it. Threw that out, but then it replaced itself with novels. Okay, threw that out, and now it's replaced itself with YouTube videos. You know, so it will take different forms. But this addiction to time wasting and asat sangha, it's a very tamagun addiction. You know, I can't do without my hit of asat sangha. It's very time wasting. Any other things? Very nice, ladies. You took the words right out of my head. Oversleeping, yes. So oversleeping, overeating junk foods, you know, idle time wasting and asat sangha. These are some of the things that those of us who are predominantly influenced by the mode of ignorance are going to be struggling with. You know, and I have to say personally, I am struggling with all of these things, you know. How about mode of passion? If you may not be in the mode of ignorance person, you may be a mode of passion person. So how does mode of passion addict you to unwanted necessities? Go ahead. Spicy food. Okay, very nice. That can damage your health, by the way. Anyone else? Mode of passion. Come on, what if someone in the mode of passion really busy doing? Yes, focusing all their attention on how to make more money. Pumping up, get those muscles. Yeah, not just for health, because some of us actually need to do a little bit of work on our bodies to keep our bodies erect and health, but this is over and above, this is pumping up. I'm going to go to the ladies first and I'll come back to you. I'm going to try to get them to talk because they don't talk. Okay, mode of passion. How does mode of passion influence us to do unwanted necessities? Getting angry. Do you think that's mode of passion? Getting angry? I would have thought it would be mode of ignorance, but it could be mode of passion. Anyone else? What do people who are mode of passion, they're driven, getting money? Huh? Fast cars, possessions. We want more possessions. You did speak to someone over there. Go ahead. Fashion, yes, we spend so much money on how we look. And again, the fashion industry is really destructive on our environment. It destroys the rivers and environments of many people in the countries that we make the clothes in. So other things is social status. We're so busy pursuing social status, position, wealth, acquisitions. And when we waste time, whether in the mode of ignorance, pursuing idle asat sangha or sleeping or eating, or we're in the mode of passion, we're pursuing wealth and position and status and acquisitions, we're eating into our time. So we have very little time left for the most important thing in life, which is spiritual life. To inquire about the absolute, to hear from the pure devotee, to hear and discuss Prabhupada's teachings, to chant our rounds, because we're so busy wasting time. So this actually brought us to the second question on this. Why doesn't Krishna want us to pursue these things? So I've just told you the answer. Why doesn't Krishna want us to pursue this unwanted necessities? Pardon? we're wasting the time. How should we be using that time? To inquire about Krishna. We should be. Would you like to say more? Thank you so much, Bani Manjari.
Also because it won't make us happy in the
long time. Yeah, it won't make us happy. And we're wasting time from doing the thing that will make us happy. So what's the solution? I mean, I know I'm one of these people who is trapped by my addictions to unwanted necessities. There's a reason it's called necessities, because we're addicted to these things. It's really hard to give them up. We start getting like shivers and shakes when it's taken away from us. So how are we going to get rid of these things without going into withdrawal symptoms? That's the big question for me. So I don't know if this is big enough. It is big enough for you to read. Great. Would someone like to... I'm going to try to find solutions, how we can get rid of these desires for our unwanted necessities without having severe withdrawal symptoms and falling down. So would anyone... I'll read it. You can read it in your mind too. Engage with the subject matter, okay? Don't be a passive listener. The Vedic civilization teaches that, quote, be satisfied with the minimum necessities of life. Don't increase unnecessary necessities of life. And then you have to work for it very hard, like hogs and dogs. That's all. Then you have to work very modern world. They have increased their unnecessary necessities of life, and therefore you'll find how hard working in European and American cities, we have seen how people are working very hard, beginning from morning at 5 o'clock till 4 o'clock next night for sense gratification. So this is not civilization. This is condemned civilization. Actually, this is not answering the question. This is just an evidence to support the answers that were already given about why Krishna doesn't like us to do this. It's because we're wasting time. We're just spending all our time working hard.
I was wondering, does he really want us to get rid of all these things, or does he really want us to
do it
in a sensitive way?
Okay. Mani Manjari, it's a really good question you're asking, but I'm going to ask for a pause in questions until we go through the subject. And then at the very end, I'll bring in, I'm going to ask a question to lead the class I've prepared, and questions from the floor, I'll ask at the very end, if that's okay. But it's such a good question, so don't forget it. Keep it there. And if you forget it, I'll remember it for you. So these are some more evidences. Let me see what this evidence is for. Nayam deho deha bhajam nirloke kastan kaman arhate vid bhujam ye. So that's from the Bhagavatam 5.5.1. Lord Rishabhdev told his sons, my dear boys, all the living entities who have accepted material bodies in this world, one who has been awarded this human form should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification, which is available even for dogs and hogs that eat stool. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified, and when one attains this position, he attains eternal, blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness and which continues forever. So these are some more evidences about why Krishna doesn't want us to engage in cultivating unwanted necessities. You know, this is a quote from Rishabhdev telling his sons, don't waste your life like hogs and dogs. It's not going to give you the happiness you're looking for. Use that time to give you that which will make you blissful. And he specifies austerities and penance and austerities. So what are the penances and austerities that we aspiring Vaishnavas should be focusing on? Govinda. Waking up early. Yeah. Is that something we enjoy doing? Oh, it depends. If you're in the mode of goodness, you enjoy it. If you're in the mode of ignorance and passion, do you enjoy doing it? No. Okay. So I don't have me ignorance here. So doing the things we don't enjoy doing because Krishna likes it, that's an austerity. apologize. Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshmanaman ki jai, Shri Gaur-Nitai ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Yeah, so doing things like getting up early in the morning, which we don't enjoy doing, but we do it because Krishna likes it, that's an austerity. How about an example of penance? I'm going to give you a clue. Penance is doing things we don't like doing because Krishna likes it. Can you give me an example, ladies? Huh? Fasting. Oh, God, yes. Fasting, we don't like doing it. I mean, some of us don't. If you happen to be in the mode of goodness, you might love it. But those of us who struggle with the modes of ignorance and passion, it's a struggle. But we do it. Why? Because Krishna likes it. So, giving up material comforts. Yeah, living simply, giving up the fashion and the furniture, living simply. So these are examples of penance and austerity that Lord Shri Shabdev said, you have to embrace that. You have to do the things you don't necessarily like to do because I like you to do them. And you have to give up the things you really like to do because I don't want you to do them. And if you do this, you'll achieve eternal bliss and happiness. So what should now, this is the question I originally asked, and we're going to start getting some evidences to help us solve this conundrum. What should we do if we're attached to unnecessary necessities and have little or no inclination for penance and austerity? I'm giving the class I need to hear. I have very little appetite for penance and austerity. It's a struggle for me. Can anyone relate to that? Am I the only one? Oh, good. Thank you. I'm glad I'm... Some people relate. So what am I going to do about it? What am I going to do if I'm not naturally in the mode of goodness and I'm not naturally inclined to penance and austerity? I'm going to give some evidences and then we can bring in other thoughts. But let's look at what Prabhupada says, yeah? So this is from the Bhagavatam 11.12.1-2, okay? And this takes up two slides. So let's read the first slide. Please read it with me. You know, engage with the quotes. Engage with the evidences. Prabhupada said we should be like lawyers. Whenever we're trying to discuss subject matters, we should base our discussion on the evidences of Shastra, not on our own opinions. We should go back always to Shastra like lawyers, speaking from the law books. So this is Canto 11, 12, 1-2. And it spans two slides. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Uddhava, by associating with my pure devotees, one can destroy one's attachment for all objects of material sense gratification. Yes! So, if we have addictions to different kinds of sense gratification, whether it's in the mode of ignorance or it's in the mode of passion, it's just the same thing in different guises, what should we do according to the evidence? We should associate with what? With the pure devotees. And does anyone know what associate with the pure devotees? I'm going to give you evidences for this, but just I'm curious. Does anyone know what it means to associate with the pure devotees? Does it mean sit next to him on the asan? Or can like, you know, what does it mean? Serve? What does it mean to serve? Here, that's it. There is a quote. I haven't got the quote here, but it's on my webpage. To serve the pure devotee means to hear from him. That's it. To hear. We have to hear from Prabhupada. You know, there's pure devotee and there's pure devotee. I'm going to show you an evidence. It talks the kind of pure devotee we have to hear from if we want to become free of these addictions we have to unwanted necessities. And the next slide is part of the same verse, two verses, and it tells us what things will not help. Don't bother wasting your time because it's not going to get you free of these addictions. So let's look at what's not going to help. Such purifying association brings me under the control of my devotee. One may perform the Ashtanga yoga system, engage in philosophical analysis of the elements of material nature, practice non-violence and other ordinary principles of piety, chant the Vedas, perform penances, take to the renounced order of life, execute sacrificial performances and dig wells, plant trees and perform other public welfare activities, give in charity, carry out severe vows, worship the demigods, chant confidential mantras, visit holy places, or accept major and minor disciplinary injunctions. But even by performing such activities, one does not bring me under his control. So I don't know how many of these we all focus on, but I'm not having a go at brahmacharis and sannyasis. But one of the things here, it says, even, what is it? Accepting celibacy, it says. Even that. Yeah. Yeah, even giving up that. Anyway, nothing is going to work, basically. You know, we may work hard, we may, you know, do extra vows, and we may go on pilgrimages, and we may grit our teeth, but it's not going to take away the addiction we have to these unwanted. What's going to take away the addiction, ladies? Did you hear the last line? What did it say? What? Who said that? Association with Purity Body. What does it mean to associate with the Purity Body? Does it mean what, to sit next to him? To hear him. That's the only thing that's actually going to cure our heart disease. It's the only medicine. Let's look at some other thing. So I did mention this. What is meant by pure devotee in this context? Because, you know, in one sense, we're all pure devotees. Prabhupada said about his disciples, and I'm sure it includes his grand disciples. When someone asked, where are the pure devotees? He said, all my disciples are pure devotees. So there's pure devotee and there's pure devotee. But let's look at what kind of pure devotee association is going to do the job of curing our heart disease. So this is an evidence from Bhagavatam 1.5.34. The summary is that one has to first of all seek the association of pure devotees who are not only learned in the Vedanta, but are self-realized souls and unalloyed devotees of Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. That's the first step. We have to seek this. So seek their association means what? To hear from them. Hands up if you fit this bill. If you are this caliber pure devotee, learned in Vedanta, hands up. Anyone learned in Vedanta? Okay. Self-realized souls, do you know your relationship with Krishna? Okay. Unalloyed devotees of Lord Krishna. Okay, so we don't hang out necessarily. And we hang out with each other, but for a different reason, to help each other to hear the devotee who has these qualifications. So the thing that comes up in my mind, I don't have these qualifications. I'm quite new. I don't even know all the verses of the Gita or the Bhagavatam, want to speak of Vedanta. How am I going to identify this person? How am I going to find this person? So, this is a lecture with Prabhupada speaking. Please read the evidence with me. I am therefore so much laboring hard that we, before my leaving this body, I may give you some books who you can enjoy. He doesn't say that. Who? Some books who you can enjoy after my death. So utilize it. Utilize it. Read every shloka nicely. Try to understand the meaning. Discuss amongst yourselves. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. That is our mission. So Prabhupada, out of his great kindness, being our founder Acharya, the guru of the Jagat Guru, has left his association for us in his books. And he's telling us, my mission and the mission of our ISKCON society is to encourage and support people in not just reading the books, but trying to understand. And he gives us a clue how we can begin to understand. He says, discuss amongst yourselves. Don't be a passive listener, a blind follower. Don't just accept someone else's interpretation. Engage with the subject matter. You may disagree with my interpretation. That's fine. But engage. That's why we have the key difference between a human body and an animal body. They eat, sleep, mate, defend. We've all heard that. We eat, sleep, mate, and defend. But they don't, their brain doesn't have a capacity to engage with this subject matter, nor to understand it. Our brains, including women's brains, because we're in the human life, our brains have the capacity to engage with this subject matter and understand it. Okay? So, some other evidences. Now, oftentimes, when I encourage devotees, please discuss Prabhupada's books, they say, well, what if I'm not understanding it? What if I don't understand the books? I mean, they're pretty hard. I find them really hard just to lie back and read them. I can't, after a paragraph, I'm thinking, what did I just read? They're really hard to understand. So I'm going to look at some evidences where Prabhupada tells us what we can do to make them easier to understand. Okay. First of all, I just want, this is an evidence to, can I reinforce the idea that they are hard for many of us to understand? Many of us are going to struggle to understand. So this is an evidence that supports that. This is from Bhagavatam 1.3.44. Simple hearing is not all. One must realize the text with proper attention. The secret of knowing Bhagavatam is mentioned here. No one can give rapt attention who's not pure in mind. No one can be pure in mind who's not pure in action. No one can be pure in action who's not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. But somehow or other, if someone hears with rapt attention from the right person at the very beginning, one can assuredly see Lord Krishna in person in the pages of the Bhagavatam. So key thing is, when we hear Bhagavatam from the right person, that topmost devotee who is learned in Vedanta, has a self-realized, knows his relation with Krishna, and is an unalloyed devotee, when we hear from that right person, we have to hear with rapt attention. Okay, be honest. Hands up if you're hearing this class, not with rapt attention. We'll do it the other way. How many people's minds do you, how many of you find your minds wandering to something else and then coming back? Yeah, we don't hear with rapt attention. And Prabhupada is saying, you're going to find it impossible to hear with rapt attention. So we come to morning Bhagavatam class, and maybe we're even good enough to come to evening Gita class and do the whole sandwich, because they really are a sandwich. But are we hearing with rapt attention? If we're not hearing with rapt attention, the medicine doesn't work. So I remember when I first read this with rapt attention, it really struck me. I thought, well, what is the solution? How am I going to get freed? I don't want to live my whole life gritting my teeth and falling down and pretending I'm not. How am I really going to get free? And I was in a conundrum, because I'm thinking, well, the medicine's not going to work on me. I'm not hearing with rapt attention. What's the solution? Now we get to an evidence which I heard, which really changed things for me in my spiritual life. This is a lecture. I happened to be listening, not listening with rapt attention, doing my business. And then suddenly, out of everything Prabhupada was saying, this sentence came and hit me, just like, boom, listen to this. And it's like, whoa, thank you, Prabhupada. So let's read what Prabhupada said that really impacted me. I hope it will impact you. Generally, people cannot understand. Yeah, that's me. But if one understands, he becomes liberated. If some way or other, how, Prabhupada, how? It is not very difficult. Simply, we have to associate with devotees and discuss this literature. Then we will understand Krishna very easily. And I'm going to show you evidences where Prabhupada talks. He says, this association to discuss, this is called Sadhu Sangha. When we come together and have prasadam and talk about the latest gossip in the temple or whatever, that is not Sadhu Sangha. That is not. We may all be sadhus, but we're not doing Sadhu Sangha. We may go together and play football. That is not Sadhu Sangha. You know, Sadhu Sangha is when we come together and discuss this literature. That is Sadhu Sangha. Not when we come together and listen passively. When we come and discuss it. And Prabhupada, I will show you evidences. Prabhupada says, this is called Ishtagosti. So we have the class, but the class is not enough, because what are you all doing? Are you interacting or are you listening passively? Anyone? Passively. this is not going to help you. Prabhupada, and I'll show you the evidence. Prabhupada says there must be Ishta Goshti. Ishta Goshti is when we come, small groups of devotees, and discuss what we've heard. Then the medicine begins to act. Otherwise, the medicine is not connecting with us. So, a few evidences. I don't know why I put this evidence. This is the difference. Oh yeah, I've got this evidence here to show you the difference between a lecture like this and a discussion. A discussion is when everyone gets to speak, and that requires small groups, because too many people speaking is going to go nowhere. So this is an evidence to support, to show you the difference between a discussion and a lecture. About Krishna, if you hear and speak, it is automatically punya shravana kirtana, as it is said, shravanam kirtanam Vishnu. So what you're doing right now is just shravanam, but you have to hear and speak. Then is shravanam kirtanam. The speaking part is the kirtanam part, and that doesn't happen in a passive lecture. It happens in Ishta Goshti. I will show you evidences. So when we do the two together, the shravanam and the kirtanam, the hearing and then speaking, and I'm going to show you evidence what we should be speaking, not just anything that comes to our mind, but when we're hearing and speaking, then the medicine begins to work. So here, what we should be speaking when we hear. To hear and explain them is more important than reading them. One can assimilate the knowledge of the revealed scriptures only by hearing and explaining. Hearing is called shravanam, and explaining is called kirtanam. The two processes of shravanam and kirtana are of primary importance to progressive spiritual life. Why, we have discussed this in this class so far, why are they of primary importance to progressive spiritual life? Ladies, why are these two together, shravanam and kirtanam? What is the question we're trying to answer? Why are they of primary importance? Yes, but why is that important? Remember, we're talking about unwanted necessities, addictions we have? Yes. When we do this hearing and speaking, we'll get free of our addictions and we'll begin to experience the bliss and happiness. It takes time, but it's the only medicine. And if we don't do this hearing and speaking, we may spend 60 years and the addictions aren't gone. They're still there. So for a devotee, here's another evidence, we're talking about Ishta Goshti. For a devotee, there is no point in making friendships with ordinary persons. He should make friendship with other devotees so that by discussing among themselves, they may elevate one another on the path of spiritual understanding. This is called Ishta Goshti. That's why we come and live in a temple, or hang around a temple, so we can make devotee friendships. Why? To talk about the latest gossip, the latest rumors, playful? No. Because like-minded people, you're more likely to find someone who want to discuss the purports with you, or want to discuss the morning class with you, or whatever. And that, when you come together in small friendship groups, that's called Ishta Goshti. And it's absolutely required for the medicine to work. Okay, by the way, anyone who's in charge, tell me when to stop. I've got more evidences, but I have got my point across, so if I'm overgoing my time, just let me know and I'll stop. 10 more minutes, okay. So these are more evidences that this is the only thing that is going to take away these inauspicious things from our heart. This is Canto 11, 3:31 verse. The devotees of the Lord constantly discuss the glories of the personality of Godhead among themselves. Thus they constantly remember the Lord and remind one another of his qualities and pastimes. In this way, by their devotion to the principles of bhakti yoga, the devotees please the personality of Godhead, who takes away from them everything inauspicious. So what are the inauspicious things that the Lord takes away? These addictions we have to unwanted necessities. These addictions we have whether in the mode of ignorance, to time-wasting, eating junk, overeating, oversleeping, you know, acquisition, wealth, status, power. These addictions we have, the Lord will take it away from our heart. If we do what? Men. If we do what?
Hear and discuss.
And explain. Explain is part of the discussion process. When we hear something, we have to speak. We have to repeat what we've heard. And then in other evidences, Prabhupada says, now you've repeated, now ask, do you have any questions? And then when you've done the question bit and you've clarified, how does this help me in my life? How can I apply this knowledge to my life? That bit of the discussion has to be there. What difference is it going to make to me in my life? How will I change, even in small, realistic ways, based on what I've heard and understood? And if we do that, how are these inauspicious things going to go from our heart? It's right here. How will it go? How will it just magically disappear? We'll lose interest? How? It says it there. I think I've underlined it. Ladies, someone? Krishna will take it away. You know, I know we're meant to be chaste and shy and quiet, but you have to find association, ladies, where you speak. Where you speak and repeat what Prabhupada is saying. Otherwise, the medicine won't work on our hearts. You have to find your small friendship groups or some way of getting the courage to speak and repeat what you've heard. So someone, have the courage. How will these things go away from our heart? How does it happen? Krishna will take it away. Yes. Why does he take it away? Well, it's set up there. Yes, that's true, but it says here, it's inauspicious, and he says the devotees please the personality of Godhead. Because he becomes pleased when we discuss these purports. He likes it. When he likes what we're doing, he'll take away the inauspicious things from our heart. This is how we please him. Okay, tell me when to stop. I've got made my point, but I just got more evidences. Okay. Actually, I can stop now because I've made my point. There are more evidences and I can open it up to discussion if you like. So I'm going to just ask for a show of hands. Would you like me to show you more evidences or would you like me to stop and give you 5 minutes for saying the things you want to say? Show of hands if you want more evidences. Show of hands if you like more evidences, two. Show of hands if you want me to stop and you'd like to discuss what you've heard. Oh, okay, more people like me to stop. So I'm going to open it up to you. Anyone who wants to see evidences, I can send you the PowerPoint to you with all the evidences. So if you'd like to make any comments or questions or...